If you're listening online, you cannot appreciate the singing or the preaching, so come here. We appreciate you listening online, but we'd like to have you here, too, to enjoy these things, to be part of it. It's just not quite the same unless you're here, so we'd love to have you come and join us if you would so choose to. We'd definitely enjoy that. The preacher, right on the money last night. Appreciate it very much. Brother Hastings, Brother Graham, both did a great job doing that and filling the roles. And I know sometimes this is a little out of the norm when you start talking about it. When you invite people to do this, some of the pastors that I talk to kind of go, I'm not exactly sure what to do. And what you find is it's the same thing we need all the time. It's encouragement. It's understanding. It's leaning upon God. It's all these things that we need. It's just kind of specialized in this moment, geared towards certain things individually. But in the end, it's all about trusting our God and guiding to Him and the expectations and leaning upon Him and what we need. And that's exactly what we need every single day. And this is just geared a little bit more specifically towards those things. So I appreciate getting to know Brother Graham over the last couple years. And that's been a blessing. By the last year or so, I got to know him. And it's been a privilege to do that. We're of kindred hearts. We like to hunt, fish, those kind of things. So that usually gives a bond pretty quickly between Baptists when you have those kind of things. So I appreciate him, appreciate his testimony. Him and his family stepping out in full-time evangelism, that's obviously a big step to take. And they're doing a great job at it. And I know you're going to be blessed. Calvary's going to be blessed over the next week to have them with you and preaching. And I know it's going to be a blessing for them. So we're going to have Brother Graham come now and give us what God has laid on his heart for this morning.
Well, it's good to be here again this morning in the, he said hunting. I actually like to go out in the woods and just freeze. And so it's not actually hunting that I do. And so in our family, my son is the animal slayer. He's the deer killer. And I'm just there occupying space. And so my wife doesn't quite understand it, sitting in a tree stand. But I absolutely love the silence. I like going in, you get your thoughts together, and I've spent a lot of time alone with the Lord in the tree stand. Now, most of my prayers are, Lord, please send a big buck by. And I have been disappointed a lot. Talk about expectations. I have an uncle, he was hunting one time, and he said, Lord, I've been serving you. He said, I've been pastoring church for 25 years. He said, I've been doing all these things. He said, would you please send a buck by? Just really out of appreciation for all my service, just a big old buck. And he said, right about that time, a little spike walked out. And he said, I get it, Lord. All right, I haven't really done that much for you. So, but I appreciate everything last night. Thank you for being here this morning. And we're looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, if you'll stand. And we'll read a few verses this morning. The writer of Hebrews, of course, much debate over who that may be, and whatever your opinion is fine. But what we find out here in chapter 13 is he's really just writing some practical things for the believer to help us in our life. And we're going to really hone in on a couple of verses. But let's read verse 1 down to verse number 6. It says, let brotherly love continue. In verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them and them which suffer adversity as bring yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This morning, I just want to preach simply on this thought of being content. Being content. Let's pray and we'll get into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be here. And Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we just ask that you would help, Lord, that you would be with the speakers today, the preachers, Lord, that you would fill us with your power. Lord, help me not say anything that I shouldn't and say only what would be pleasing to you this morning in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. here in Hebrews chapter 13, as it said, the writer is in giving some practical, I guess you'd say, counsel for the Christian life. And we could take these other verses that are here, verses 1-4, and you could preach a whole message on verse 1, let brotherly love continue. It's a struggle in a lot of our churches today. We don't have a love for each other. It's just heartbreaking. But I want to get into verse 5-6. And he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Now, I understand what the writer is saying here, and we understand contentment, and we can read about contentment in the Word of God. And Paul talked about whatever state I am, therewith to be content. He knows how to abound and how to be abased. And Paul is speaking about the if you will, maybe the financial realm or the physical realm that we're in, and just being content with what you have. Now, don't misunderstand me when it comes to our walk with the Lord and our relationship. I don't want to be content where I'm at. I want to get closer. But when it comes to the area of what I have or what God has blessed me with, I have to learn to be content. As I stated last night, my wife and I, one of the hardest lessons we had to find had to learn when the Lord wouldn't bless us with more children is being content with what we do have. And I know it sounds harsh, but we love our children, and it's not that we don't love them, but we had a desire for more. And the Bible talks about in Psalms, a man that has his quiver full, and we felt like our quiver wasn't quite full yet. And we had to learn, and still to this day, learn to be content. And it goes in every area of our life. And so I want to look at that this morning and just being content. And it doesn't matter whether this is concerning your children or possessions, whatever it may be. Can I tell you, we live in a culture that's not content. I mean, we are always looking for a bigger house, a bigger car, a faster car, whatever it may be. We just don't get content with the things that we have. And if we're not careful, we'll see this in just a second. He talks about not being covetous. We'll see what other people have and we'll say, why don't I have that? Or we'll see what other people have and say, why didn't God bless it? Sometimes it's easy, for a family to say, how come God didn't allow us to have, you know, 8 or 7 or however many kids, or how come God didn't allow this to happen in my life? And we're not content with what God has given us. So we notice the direction this morning. The first thing we notice is the direction. He gets into our conduct here, and he says, be without covetousness. And Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and he said this, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And so Paul says that you and I need to mortify covetousness. We need to get rid of, kill the desire of being covetous. He said, preacher, why do you think that we're covetous? I don't know what it is, but it's in our nature. You put two kids in a nursery, my kids, you put them together and one of them has a toy. The other one had no idea it even existed. But as soon as they pick it up, the other one wants it. We're covetous. I want what they have. I want to be able to enjoy what they're having, and I want it. And it's amazing that it goes into our adult life as well. It's amazing. We can struggle. We say, preacher, I don't have any issues like that. But as soon as somebody comes in with something that we want or that we like, we can become that way if we're not careful. And that's why Paul said you've got to mortify it. And so we see he gives a direction about our conduct. That word conversation here that Paul uses, let your conversation, that's really our life. That's not just our speech. A lot of times we hear the word conversation, we're thinking it's just how we talk, but Paul says this is how we should live. Understand the apostle Paul here, when he talked about being content, in his life and not being covetous and realizing whatever God has given him at that time, he's just happy with it. Whether he's living on the street or whether he's living in the house, Paul said, I'm going to be content. And the writer of Hebrews here is telling us that we in our every area of our life need to learn not to be covetous. And then he gets into our contentment. He says, be content with such things as ye have. That word content simply means satisfied, quiet or easy in mind, not complaining, opposing, or, I like this, demanding more. How many times can we get to where we demand more? God, I want more. God, you need to give me more. And Paul told Timothy, he said, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, for such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Learning to be content. Learning to have that mindset, that spirit of whatever comes, whatever God blesses me with, I'm content. Can I state it like this? If God allows a trial in your life, you and I can find contentment in it. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that we can just, we go out and God allows a health crisis to come in our life and we don't go see a doctor or we don't try to take care of ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. But we can still find contentment in just allowing God to work however he wants to. I'm not saying that we can't go seek wisdom or help, but we need to find that we're not covetous of what somebody else has, and we're content with what God allows in our life. And Paul, as he told Timothy, and he gets into this, the idea of being content, there is a corrupt philosophy that the gain of this world is equal to godliness. We have a certain, we'll say, religion that says if God is blessing you, you're going to prosper in a financial sense. I mean, if God's blessing you, surely you'll have an abundant amount of children. That's not always how God works. It's not always just because you drive a really nice car, God's blessings are on you. I had the privilege when I pastored. As a side job, we had a man in our church and he owned a business cleaning pools. And I had the privilege, I'll say the lady's name, some of you will know her. I worked for Claire McCaskill and I cleaned her swimming pools. And every time that she would see me, she knew I was a preacher. She would come up and I would say, how are you doing? She said, well, as they say, I'm blessed. And I always struggled with it because I thought, I don't know if she knows anything about the blessings of God. You've got financial wealth. This lady, and I spent some time with her. I don't think she knows the Lord as her Savior. We have this understanding or mindset that if everything's going good, I've got money in the bank, my prayers are being answered, if you will, then apparently I'm godly and I'm living for God. Job eschewed evil and lived for God and hated everything wrong and loved God, and yet everything fell apart. And so Paul is saying, don't fall for the corrupt philosophy that just because you're living for God, that you get the gain of life. Just because somebody may not be able to even have children doesn't mean there's sin in their life. Just because you go through a heartache, it may not mean there's sin in your life. Now it may, and you can self-assess that. And sometimes we can see the choices that people make and the consequences are because of sin. But sometimes God just allows those things to happen. And so we got to be careful with the corrupt philosophy. But Paul goes on to say, godliness with contentment is a great gain. And so we have to be content with the possessions. We need to be content with the person of Christ. We need to be content with the course of our life, if we will, and content with those that God allows in our life to help us along. Along the way, and so we see this this direction about being content, and it's not just we're content and that's it. He goes on and writes in our text. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said. Well, who? Well, it's talking about the Lord. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he gives the direction of our life about our conduct and about our contentment, but he gives us the delight that we should have, or the delight that we can have, that no matter what we're facing, no matter what is allowed in our life or what we may or may not have, we can find contentment in Christ. Because he's always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. There's a comfort that's given here that even if I don't get the things that I feel like I should get, or even if I don't get the possessions that I feel like somebody else has had, if I don't make it through, if I go through the rest of my life and I live in a shack and I drive a terrible car and it seems like all of the woes of life are just upon me, I can still be content because of who lives inside of me. Jesus Christ. And so there's the comfort that's given here. There's a comfort that we find in this promise. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm sure you've heard this before, but I like the fact that our Bible reads and he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, as a husband, there are times where I have to leave my family, but I've not forsaken them. There are times that I have to go on a trip and my wife and my children, they'll stay home and I'm gone for a few days and I have left them, but I'm not forsaking them. I'm off usually preaching or doing something and they'll stay behind the house. And then there are those that even though they're living together, they're forsaking each other. They want nothing to do with each other. There's no communication. But the Lord gives us a promise here that he's not going to leave us and he's with us and he won't even forsake us. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, we know what the plan is. This is the promise. If you to go into the book of John and read, Jesus gives how this can happen or who this will happen through. He said this, and I'll pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. That ye may abide with, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So here's the plan. Jesus said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and he'll be in you and he's your comforter. That's why the writer of Hebrews said that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. This morning, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells in you. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. There's someone inside of you that when you feel like a life has dealt you a bad hand, when you feel like everything is weighing down upon you, when you feel like somebody else has something better and we can start to get covetous of somebody else, we can remember to be content because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You've probably never done this, but there's been a time or two that I've looked at people who I know are not living for God. I've looked at people who I know probably aren't even saved, and I see the abundance and the blessings, it seems, on their life and go, Lord, why can't I have that? And he reminds me, wait a minute, you got something much greater than all that. I'm living with you. He's a comfort to us. Where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord. And he gives us this promise that we need to be content because we have Christ living in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us and he gives us the purpose. In John, as he continues writing in verse 26 and 27, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so Jesus, as he's talking in the book of John, he's telling us about the Holy Spirit who's going to come in, who's going to indwell in us, and it's so that we can have a comfort. And here the writer of Hebrews is telling us that we can be content because the Lord lives inside of us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter what it is in your life that you have a longing for or that you're desirous of. We can find our contentment in Christ Jesus. And there's a participation, if you will, that comes with this. Paul goes on and he writes to the church at Corinth about how God and Jesus, how he allows afflictions, if you will, to come that we dealt with last night, and for the comforter to come in to help us so that we can then in turn help others. He said in 2 Corinthians 1, he said, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. I'm glad he's the God of all comfort. There are people who have an obscured view of God, that he's just some God up there with a lightning bolt ready to strike people down. He's a God that loves us. He's a God that desires to have fellowship with us. You know, I'm thankful when I woke up this morning and I got to go to God in prayer, that he didn't say, no, I'm busy today. That he didn't look at me and say, no, we talked yesterday. Not today. I brought some petitions before the Lord today, and he didn't tell me, no, I've already heard those. He allowed me to come boldly before his throne, and I was able to talk to the Father through Jesus Christ, and I was able to come before him. Why? Because he wants to hear my prayers. It amazes me that God wants to spend time with me. I understand why I should want to spend time with God. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who gave his son for us. But the fact that he wants to spend time with me amazes me. And yet so many times we don't want to spend time with him. But he said, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. Paul talks about in the book of Corinth, or in the book of Corinthians to the church at Corinth, that God has come in. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. And when we go through the tribulations of life, there's a comfort that we have. And then in turn, we can help comfort others. We can come alongside and we can be a comfort. And it's all found in being content in what or who Jesus is to us. You say, preacher, but I don't have the things that I desire. Jesus is enough. Preacher, but I really would like this. Christ is enough. There's a verse that we use often, and I think we misuse it. It's found in Psalms 37. The psalmist said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. We look at that verse and go, say, preacher, there we go. If I love the Lord, he's going to give me what I want. But we misunderstand that we've got to first delight ourselves in the Lord, and then once we delight in him, our desires change. But before salvation, I had a different desire. Can I tell you this? Before I surrendered my life to the will of God, I had different desires. As a young boy, I desired fame and fortune. As a young boy, I thought I would be an NBA basketball player. And I know all of you could see it, that would probably be a possibility. You think, yeah, he's tall, he's not overweight, and he looks like he could run up and down the court. Yeah, I could see why he would think NBA was his you know, ticket out. Those were my desires. Those were the things that I desired. But it's amazing when I was called to preach and even as my delight became more in the Lord, my desires have changed. And you know what's happened? He's given me the desires of my heart now, not the desires that I had before my delight. And so sometimes we misuse this verse and we think to ourselves, well, he should give me what I'm hoping for, but we're missing the delighting in the Lord. We're missing being content with who he is. He is enough for us. He's enough to get us through our troubles and our trials. And so then we see the dependence. Look at verse 6. He said, all that so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. This points to the truth that real contentment comes only when we trust in God to meet our needs and to be our security. Strangely, we are often more likely to put security and find contentment in things that are far less reliable and secure than God Himself. It's amazing how many times we put our security in our bank account. It's amazing how many times we put our security in maybe the identity that we think we have in some kind of position or some kind of a role in life, when our security should come in just saying, hey, the Lord is my helper. We have this idea sometimes that we're going to get to a place in our Christian life where I'm just going to be this strong, dependent or independent Christian. And if I'm a good Christian, I won't ever have to really rely or lean upon the Lord. We get this mentality that I'm just going to be able to make it on my own if I'm a good Christian. But what we find is the more that we grow in Christ, the more we realize I've just got to lean on Him. The more we got to realize I can't do it without the Lord. I can't do this on my own. I can't be independent. I got to depend upon Him. I need His help. I need Him to be my helper. Can I tell you, the Lord's our helper in our struggles. The Lord is our helper when we're stunned. The Lord is our help when it seems like everything is silent. The psalmist said this, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The psalmist said, I know that you've been my help even when I couldn't hear your voice. We've got to get to the point where we're just content knowing that what we have in Jesus is far greater than anything this world can offer and anything that you and I might think we need. Sometimes we struggle with contentment. I struggle with contentment. Things that aren't necessarily bad. Things that it's not a sinful thing that we may have a desire for. Having more children, I don't believe is a sinful thing. But being content with what God's given me. Being content with what God has allowed to come into my life. Because He knows a lot more than I know. He knows something that I don't know. Can I say, and I say this in a kind way, there have been people who have not been content with certain things in their life, and they'll do everything they can to get what they've gotten, and when they have, it's just caused problems. We've got to understand that I just need to be content in the Lord. You say, preacher, that seems so simple, that seems so elementary, and yet we struggle with it so many times. We struggle with it in a lot of areas of our life. As a preacher, it's easy for me. When I pastored, it'd be easy for me to look and say, "Why don't I have a bigger church? Why don't I get to preach out more? Why don't I get to whatever it may be? How come I don't have these things that so and so may have?" And what I found out is I'm just not content with where God's put me. I'm not content with what God's given me. Sometimes we get around other preachers, and you go to a preacher's fellowship, and it's amazing. Sometimes you get around preachers and you ask them how they're doing, and you kind of get covetous of the fact that they never have a problem. At least that's the way they make it seem. Man, there's never an issue at their church. Everything's a better road. And I'm not saying just get up and start complaining, but sometimes we just see the surface. In our social media age that we live in, people don't typically post their bad day. And people are going to go post their vacation pictures. People are going to post all the great things that have. And sometimes we look on and say, man, I wish I had their life. Man, it just seems like everything's going great. They got the raise at the work. They got this going on. Man, their life just seems to be fantastic. You don't see the whole picture on social media. We got to be careful. And we got to realize that the psalmist, when he said here, that be... that our conversation is to be without covetousness and to be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I understand that our contentment lies in the fact that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, if you're saved this morning. And I'm so thankful, because there have been moments in my life when I've sat alone, I've been by myself, and the woes of life have come upon me, and I can go to him in prayer. There are times where I've tried to make prayers, and it's just groanings, and the Holy Spirit brings comfort. And I'm reminded, I've got somebody inside of me who'll never leave me nor forsake me. And if I'll just be content, godliness with contentment is great gain. But I have to learn to be content. Let's